This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. You're listening to The Checkup, our weekly series on how healthcare is changing in Maryland. We are now in the seventh week of open enrollment in Maryland, according to the Maryland Health Benefit Exchange. While more than 53,000 people have created accounts on the MarylandHealthConnection.gov, the state's online marketplace to shop for health insurance, the total number of people enrolled in health insurance plans is just under 1,800. Among those uninsured in Maryland and eligible for coverage, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services reports that 38% are African American and 12% are Hispanic. Amid all the concern about how the online marketplace is working, we want to pause and take a look at minority enrollment and minority outreach in Maryland and ask people around the state if the word is getting out about the exchange. Are minorities getting the message? In a few minutes, we'll hear from three people leading outreach efforts. But first, with us is someone very engaged in outreach, Congressman Elijah Cummings, who represents portions of Baltimore City, Baltimore County, and Howard County. Congressman Cummings, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be with you.
You represent a racially diverse congressional district. You have advocated for solutions to health disparities. What are some of the health issues that you've observed in communities of color?
You know, they say that when the general population has a cold, the African-American community has pneumonia. We suffer disproportionately with regard to diseases like all kinds of cancer. We basically lead in mortality. Now, for example, something like breast cancer, African-American women have less of it. In other words, the percentage of women being found with breast cancer is a lower percentage, but a much higher percentage of those who die from breast cancer are African American.
And this is primarily because of late detection?
Late detection, lack of insurance, putting off examinations. I'll never forget Bea Gaddy here in Baltimore. She talked about how she had apparently put off and her breast exams and treatment, and the next thing you know, she expired. Mm. And that's not an unusual story. I hear those kind of stories all the time. So what the Affordable Care Act, one of the main things, Sheila, that the Affordable Care Act is intended to do is to keep people well and help them to get early detection, provide preventative services for them, so that we do not spend so much effort, time, and resources treating them when they are sick. And, of course, we want people to be well so that they can come to work, be productive, go to school, do whatever they have to do. And I've often said that if you've got a sick society, you have a weak society.
One of the things that you and I have talked about before is the case of Diamante Driver.
Yes.
The young man.
12-year-old boy who died from an infected tooth that would have cost $75 to treat, could not find a Medicaid doctor 5 years ago, and died.
In Prince George's County.
In Prince George's County.
What does the affordable, and I know Maryland took steps after that to try to make sure something like that never happened again. But there's also part of the Affordable Care Act focused on dental.
Yeah, we just because of Diamante Driver, I worked along with Ben Cardin and others in our delegation to make sure there are provisions in there for children to get dental treatment. It's not in there, unfortunately, for adults, and we're working on that, Sheila. But that is very, very significant because a lot of our children are suffering. All you got to do is go to the University of Maryland Dental School, and they will tell you that there are Diamante drivers that walk in there every week who have an infection that is now spreading. And a lot of times they've been able to catch them. But my point is that a lot of parents don't know that there's a relationship between the teeth and the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. And so it provides for not only dental care, but it provides for folks to be informed.
Before the exchanges opened in September, mm-hmm. you held a symposium about the Affordable Care Act called Making Good Health My Reality at the University of Baltimore Business Center. What was some of the feedback that you were hearing then, and are you getting different feedback now?
Well, we had a packed house. A lot of people, they said they just didn't know. They had heard about it, and they just wanted to know more. And we packaged it in a way so that somebody with a sixth grade education could understand what was going on. the feedback that I'm getting now is that you've got some people who are a little frustrated. They're hearing the stories about the website. What I'm telling them is just to hang on. There are issues with this website, but we will get those issues resolved. And failure is not an option. And I will go to my grave fighting to make sure people have health care, because I've seen too many people who have died early and suffered needlessly because they were not able to get health care. I mean, you know, I represent Johns Hopkins. That's in the middle of my district. There are people literally outside of Johns Hopkins. The cure is in Johns Hopkins, but they can't get in there to get the care that they need because of things like health insurance. I'm not just pointing out Johns Hopkins, but that's an example of what I'm talking about. And that's all over this country.
That's Congressman Elijah Cummings here on Maryland Morning on The Checkup on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about outreach for the Affordable Care Act. Has outreach been sufficient?
I think it's been...
Especially outreach to minorities.
I think it's been pretty good, but I think it could always be better. When you're dealing with the government and a new type of program, and basically a revolutionary type of program, you know, people, first of all, are skeptical a lot of times. And there are people who are, they don't like dealing with government because they think, you know, something wrong. They fear government for whatever reason. And so you have to really break it down. That's why churches are so important. We find that pastors, the way we got a lot of people to our forums is that pastors got up and said, look, you've got to do this. I'm tired of going, hearing you talk about you can't get care. You got to do this. This is so important. And so the churches have been extremely effective in the African-American community in getting the word out. I think the state has done a very good job in their advertising. But again, a lot of this has got to be almost one-on-one pressure.
Well, is there funding specifically for outreach to minority communities?
Oh, no doubt. Oh, yeah. That's a part of the Affordable Care Act. That's also, Maryland has money to do that, too, and they are using it.
So what, in your view, is the most important thing that will make this work well in minority communities? What has to happen?
What has to happen is you've got to continue the outreach, and we got to get into every single organization that there is and help leaders, all community leaders, know about it. We've got to make sure that we restore the trust. I think one of the things that has happened in the president, when the president made a speech the other day, and the polling has showed that people have lost trust. They're looking at African-American president, but some of them, you know, are skeptical. I'm not just talking about African-American people, but people in general. So when they say that he fumbled the ball, and the polls show that there's a trust that's slowly eroding. You know, if anybody ought to be able to convince them, it should be a man of color in the White House. And third, we've got to get this website fixed. You got to have people. A lot of people in the African American community disproportionately don't have computers or don't even use computers. So we've got to have outreach that allows them to use the library. Here in Baltimore, I applaud Carla Hayden because she has done everything she knows how in that library system to bring people in to have them apply and show them how to apply. We got to have all kinds of efforts like that.
Congressman Cummings, thank you.
Failure is not an option. Thank you.
Congressman Elijah Cummings represents portions of Baltimore City, Baltimore County, and Howard County. You're listening to The Checkup on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about outreach to minorities under the Affordable Care Act. Joining us on the phone from the National Immigration Integration Conference in Miami is Catalina Rodriguez. She's Language Access Coordinator and Hispanic Affairs Liaison and staffs the Baltimore City Hispanic Commission. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us what the Baltimore City Hispanic Commission is doing to help Baltimoreans learn about the new health law.
Well, let me just give you a brief background in terms of the Hispanic Commission. The commission was created in 2007 by a city ordinance to serve as an advisor to the mayor and the city agencies and private entities on matters related to Hispanic affairs. In terms of the ACA, what the commission has been doing is simply advocating on behalf of Latinos mostly working with healthcare access and learning about, you know, what will be their process in informing the Latino community in the registry process. We've met with them. We made a few suggestions based on the work that we've done in the community, and we asked them to use us as a tool to disseminate information to our communities.
So how do you go about that? What kind of events or activities?
We have what's called Ventanillas de Salud, Health Windows, in partnership with the Embassy of Mexico, which is a one-stop shop for health resources that comes to Sacred Heart of Jesus the first Monday of every month. We asked
Sacred Heart of Jesus is a Catholic parish.
Correct.
I had the impression that a lot of the coverage around the Affordable Care Act focused on that it was for legal residents of the United States, not for undocumented immigrants. Has that affected how the whole community, the whole Hispanic community, looks at the Affordable Care Act?
Absolutely. You know, our families are very diverse families where you may have parents who are undocumented, but the children are U.S. citizens. And, you know, having the parents not cover can affect the entire family. We do know that, as we've had before, that there are federally qualified clinics that offer health services at a discounted rate, and that we hope that that continues to be the case as we go through this process.
The mixed status of some families can be a limiting factor in getting people signed up for health insurance. What are some of the other challenges?
Well, you know, language can be a barrier and culture can be a barrier. One of the things that we are used to in Baltimore, we are a city of neighborhoods, and oftentimes we work with our community associations and task forces and business task forces. When it comes to immigrants, this is a very foreign concept. So working with the right partners will be essential in making sure that the community feels comfortable and that can be approached in a setting or a forum where they feel comfortable as well.
I appreciate you talking to us.
Thank you.
Catalina Rodriguez is Language Access Coordinator and Hispanic Affairs Liaison. She staffs the Baltimore City Hispanic Commission. She joined us from the National Immigration Integration Conference in Miami. On WIPR, this is The Checkup. I'm Sheila Cast. To check in on how other parts of the state are conducting outreach to minority populations, we turn first to Catherine Gunby, Program Coordinator for the Lower Shore Health Insurance Assistance Program. It's a program of the Worcester County Health Department that provides services to residents of Somerset, Worcester, and Wicomico counties. When we spoke last Friday, I asked Kat Gunby what the largest minority populations in those counties are and how her program is reaching them.
In Somerset County, African Americans make up 42% of the population. What's interesting is that even though African Americans are only about a quarter of the tri-county population, a higher proportion of them, 34%, are uninsured in these three counties. The same is true for Hispanics. So even though they're only 4.2% of the tri-county population, they are 6% of the uninsured population. So that is clear evidence to us that we have to do targeted outreach to minority populations.
What kind of targeted outreach to minorities are you doing?
We're working with the communities directly and the communities themselves by going to, for example, African-American community activists and leaders in the area, representatives of the NAACP, or people who are well-known in the communities and pastors in the communities. We're working with a couple of community organizers in the Hispanic community and with Korean pastors and others. Every day we're learning about new people who work directly with different groups and different communities and trying to learn directly from them about the best ways to reach people.
Do you have a sense of whether most of the people you're coming in contact with already have insurance and are looking to get better insurance or more cost-effective insurance, or are you mostly hearing from people who don't have insurance at this point?
Most of the people that we come in contact with do not have insurance. Mm-hmm. However, we do come in contact with those who do, who fear losing it because of changes to the insurance because of the law, or because they're retiring or switching jobs. for the most part, they have been uninsured, and they're looking forward to getting insurance.
Okay, but what are some of the challenges that you're noticing when it comes to getting the word out, especially among minorities?
We anticipate cultural barriers, especially on the lower shore, because we are a rural community, and understand the importance and the challenges that that we might have in reaching minority communities, which is why we're trying to work directly with people who are active within those communities. Other challenges that we may have, well, internet access can be a challenge in some areas of the shore, which is why people are often more comfortable working in person with a navigator who can pull up the website, facilitate the application process. Another aspect of living on the shore, or one thing that we try to eliminate any barriers, including transportation, if that is a barrier for someone, by being available at so many sites, by being mobile and accessible and being able to meet people where they are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Catherine Cat Gumby is Program Coordinator for the Lower Shore Health Insurance Assistant Program, a program of the Worcester County Health Department. To check in on outreach efforts in parts of Western Maryland, we spoke to Christine Hall, Director of Healthy Howard Incorporated, which oversees outreach in Frederick, Howard, Washington, Carroll, Allegheny, and Garrett counties. When I spoke with her yesterday, she told us about some of the partnerships between Healthy Howard Incorporated and organizations that serve diverse populations in Western Maryland.
The Korean Resource Center, which is in Howard County, and Grassroots Intervention Center, which is also in Howard County. We're also working with the Asian American Center of Frederick and community action agencies in Washington County.
Can you give us a picture of the largest minority populations in Frederick, Washington, and Howard counties?
In Frederick County, I know that there is a large Asian population. And here in Howard County, we also have a large Latino population as well as Korean population as well. We also find that, especially in the Latino community, we have done extensive grassroots outreach via Latino supermarkets and stores by putting out flyers to partners that are actually serving the individuals that we are trying to reach. Right now, we are scheduling Spanish and Korean language forums that will really help to educate these populations on the benefits of the Affordable Care Act. These language forums obviously will be in the population's, you know, native language. So we feel that that's a great way to do outreach and education when we have staff and such as navigators and assisters who are giving out the information to their communities in their own native language. So that's in Howard County. For the Washington County minorities, we have been, you know, able to connect through the Community Action Agency there, just doing general outreach to low-income populations.
And what are some of the challenges that you've observed when it comes to getting the word out?
Not being able to share the information in a way that the communities would understand. You know, one obvious barrier was language. So one example is through translation of materials so that individuals can get the information that they need in their native language would lead to a better understanding of what options were available.
Christine Hall, Director of Healthy Howard Incorporated, which oversees healthcare outreach in Western Maryland, we spoke yesterday. You've been listening to The Checkup on 88.1. We have much more about this topic on our website, including information about legislation Congressman Cummings sponsored, a list of outreach events in Central Maryland, Western Maryland, and on the Eastern Shore, and a link to WYPR news producer Brett Jasper's piece about how the Affordable Care Act may affect undocumented immigrants. Come to WYPR.org/The Checkup. A note before we go, 150 years ago today, Abraham Lincoln dedicated the final resting place of soldiers killed at Gettysburg, an address that has defined the American project for generations. At our website, we've reposted our 2011 interview with historian Adam Goodhart of Washington College in Chestertown about how Lincoln worked out those ideas 2 years earlier in his first summer as president.
You can feel that sort of the rough draft of the Gettysburg Address in some ways. He talks about the Civil War, and he says this issue, meaning the war, embraces more than the fate of these United States. It presents to the whole family of man the question whether a constitutional republic or a democracy, a government of the people by the same people, can or cannot maintain its territorial integrity.
You can hear the whole interview with Adam Goodhart, author of 1861, The Civil War Awakening, at WIPR.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on the show, how to create a diverse private school. Stay with us on 88.1.